Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsor. By Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Kevin Most, taking the time to give us a little extra time today. Hi, buddy.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Happy Labor Day weekend plus a day.
Yeah. It's Brother Brad's birthday on Labor Day weekend, so.
I should have called him.
Yeah, today's his birthday,
oh,
so more
today.
On entertainment is, yep.
All right, so call Brad Most.
Call Brad, yeah.
And I know that he's really tight on time, so I can pretty much call him anytime I want.
Correct.
Happy birthday, Brad, one of the greats. All right, so let's talk about a couple things here, if you don't mind. Andrew Luck, surprise retirement. Here's a guy who is one of the star quarterbacks in the National Football League. You figured, well, he's got 10, 15 years to go, and he's done.
Yeah. For me, I say, you know, good for him.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know, you know a lot of sports guys. You know, you know a lot of older sports guys that you play in these events with. Some of them can barely walk, you know, and you look at it and go, gosh, did they really get what they needed out of that occupation that they had for years? And then you look at the number of CTE patients that we're seeing, you know, from football injuries. So I say kudos to him, and it was a good move.
This is concussion-based, obviously with fears of CTE and other things. So let's start with the basics. What's a concussion?
Yeah, you know, and this is probably the most important thing, is that people just need to know simply what it is. And it's an injury that kind of impacts the brain and takes away its normal function for a very short period of time. Temporary, short period of time, the brain does not function the way it should. People say, oh, no, I couldn't have had a concussion. I didn't get knocked unconscious. No, you can get a concussion just from simply a blow to the head.
I remember playing high school football, and on more than one occasion, as a lineman, getting popped in the helmet, and then getting very dizzy, and then sort of being disoriented, and then not being able to remember exactly what happened later in the day. Is that what we're talking about?
That's exactly what we're talking about. And back then, Steve, you just kind of, the coaches, hey, shake it off, or they pulled you out for a play, and they sent you right back in.
Walk it off, Sally! You'd get that
kind
of response.
Well, thank goodness we know better now.
Well, that's why I got into show business, the concussions. So, while we're more aware of it, it still falls on the athlete to take care of themselves, right?
It does, and it also falls on the coaches, the trainers, and actually the parents as well. You know, when someone gets concussed, they often won't make the sound judgment that they normally should. So someone needs to be looking out for them and to identify the individuals who may have had a concussion and pull that, because the worst thing possible is exactly kind of what your scenario was. You know, you got dinged pretty good, and then you went right back into the game. We know that a second concussion on top of a primary concussion can cause massive permanent damage in individuals, and that's one of the biggest things that we're concerned about.
Wondering with all the kids going back to school and then parents enrolling them in football programs, what are the things that parents should look out for in terms of what the coaches are talking about and maybe the staff? Like, what should the parents be wanting to hear from coaches and trainers and when they enroll their kids?
Yeah, you know, the one good thing now, is at least in the state of Illinois, is that the coaches and trainers all have to have mandatory education for it. A lot of the good schools are doing preseason concussion testing. In other words, they'll test all the mental status beforehand so that they have a baseline. From the parents' point of view, as long as they know that the coaches are doing the education and what their process is for their protocol, that's great. And then the parents take some ownership as well. You know, that kid who never has a headache but came back after football practice with a headache, or he's dizzy, or, you know, he's a little confused, or he doesn't remember some things. You know, the signs and symptoms of a concussion are things that you're going to see not only when it immediately occurs, but then over the next couple of days after that. So if the coaches don't see it on the field and the kid gets off the field, we have to make sure that the parents are aware to look for prolonged headache, any vision disturbances, dizziness, balance problems, confusion, memory loss, difficulty concentrating, sensitivity to light.
Yeah, I didn't realize loss of smell and taste even, huh?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. which is a very interesting one. It can be actually one of the more severe ones.
So it's important for us to know that a kid or an athlete had a concussion so we know when it's really safe for them to go again. And so they're fully aware. And now there's a blood test that might help?
That's probably one of the great things. You know, we're looking at saying on the sidelines, boy, was that a concussion? Now, we do have some equipment that says, you know, he was hit hard enough that this could have been a concussion. Abbott, however, now has a blood test, not available in the United States yet, but very exciting news came out last week that point-of-care testing, in other words, it could be done on the sideline, takes 15 minutes to do the test, and it would show, yes, you had a concussion, or no, you have not. They're doing it by measuring a protein that they would find in the blood that normally would not be there unless there was damage to the brain. So instead of a coach who's had one educational period to how to identify, it's actually going to be very objective. Here is the test. Here's your result. Yes, you had a concussion. No, you didn't.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about helmets. You know, the helmets have to be safer. And then that makes sense. He taught us a long time ago, your brain is inside this fluid environment inside your skull. And when your skull gets racked, the brain slams up against the side of your skull, which is hard. There's the bruise. There's a concussion and so on. But you told us in the notes, and we always post the notes of the podcast, which will go up later, that the mouth guards are actually maybe even higher tech, huh?
Yeah, the mouth guards are higher tech. That two things happen there. One is the hit to the jaw, which compresses everything up, and also it can show the rotational forces as well. So the mouth guards, the high-tech mouth guards that they have right now, are much more accurate in saying the blow was enough to cause a concussion. Until we get that blood test, the mouth guard, the high-tech mouth guards are going to be the ones. And those are the ones that you would hope that the boosters of each of the high schools are saying, you know what, we're going to try to raise money to make it safer for our kids to play, and we're going to make sure that they have the right equipment.
Speaking of blood tests, let me ask you a stupid question. This came up this weekend. How are we, as adults, supposed to know our blood type if we just haven't committed it to memory through the years?
Yeah. Two things there. One is that's kind of a fun fact, but that's about all that it's good for. In other words, if you came into the hospital and said, oh, my gosh, I'm bleeding, I need blood, and my blood type is O positive, we're going to look at you and go, thank you very much, we're going to test you. So it's a fun fact to know. And actually, we'll do something on blood tests, because how many times does a doctor say, now we're going to have blood tests, and then that's kind of it? You know, we should, we'll talk about that 1 week to say, hey, you know what, these are the tests that they do, this is why they're doing them, and this is what they're looking for, and we'll get you some education on that.
And so other than knowing your blood test, smarty pants, it's not something you need to walk around with?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So,
let's get
so I can take that card out of my wallet.
The one you've been carrying for your entire life?
From LifeSource.
Wow.
Doc, I don't remember how you put this, but a long time ago, you said blood is the key to everything. I'm not being in a flip way, but that's how you read whatever's going on medically, pretty much head to toe?
Absolutely. And we're starting to find more and more interesting things about the blood that is telling us more about the future. You know, telling us more about what may be coming. It's allowing us to identify cancers earlier. It's allowing us to control and treat diabetes on a much tighter method. So it's fascinating what we used to be able to do and what we're able to do now. And we'll talk about it because it is kind of fun.
What about how to lose weight? Will it tell you what diet will work the best for you?
There's a blood type diet. Is that hype?
No, I was wondering. That's why I was asking.
So the blood type diet, a lot of what they'll do is they'll do the genetic testing on your blood, and they'll say that based on your genetics, this would be the one that you would have. Also, they will look at your lipids, so your cholesterols, and they'll make sure that you get into one that is going to have lower cholesterol. In other words, somebody with elevated cholesterol and elevated triglycerides, the keto diet probably may not be the best. Right. It may be good for them losing weight, but for the amount of fat that they're going to intake, it may do more damage to their heart. So they may be more in tune to a Mediterranean diet, which is good for their heart and still can help them lose weight.
Because of this hereditary blood clotting condition that I found out I had a few years ago, I have to have an exceptionally low cholesterol level, and I just did a blood test a couple weeks ago. It turns out my total cholesterol now is 4.
That's really good, right?
That's pretty low. Yeah, it's 4.
Did that test come back right? Is this accurate?
No, it did not.
Oh,
okay.
Did not?
No, it's not accurate. It's not accurate.
Thanks, Doc. I felt like something was a little off there.
He's just saying why you can have a cheeseburger at lunch. Right?
No, but I have to tell you, it is very low because I listen to the doctor.
Yeah. You do not listen to the doctor.
I absolutely listen to the doctor.
Really?
You know, when you nearly die a couple times, you find out listening to the doctor is a good idea.
It's hard to tell when you're really listening or not
really
listening.
Am. Really? Am.
Okay. Good.
Thank you, buddy, and happy birthday to your brother Brad. Did you get him anything?
I'm going to go to the gas station on the way home. I'll find something.
No.
Oh, so maybe some beef jerky.
Yeah, there we go. That's what
there you go. Remember, the B in Brad stands for beef jerky. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you guys soon.
Little bonus doc most.